Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
This is the first episode of Pickle Sift when we were using the name High Score. Turns out that name is pretty common in video games podcasts. This one, though, we know no one else has. So enjoy the first episode of Pixel Sift.
That's right, it's High Score. You're listening to the inaugural show here on Radio Murdoch. My name is Gianni, and I'm joined in the studio by...
Mitch.
How high, Robbie?
And Scott.
And today we're going to have a little bit of a chat about video games, which is going to be the theme of our show, High Score.
Of course.
It's not about going to a car park late at night, meeting someone that you've texted on Gumtree. It's about playing video games.
Yeah.
And we've got a bit of interesting stuff to talk about today. I'm going to have a bit of a start, shall we? Let's have a bit of a talk about what we've been playing recently.
Yep.
So let's. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll go there. Recently, I've kicked back a bit of an old school game. I've gone back to 86. I've dusted off the original NES, and I've been rocking The Legend of Zelda.
And you've been actually dusting off the original NES as well.
I literally had to dust it off and blow it out and get all the innuendo things done to it. But I've been having a fantastic time playing it, busting through all the levels. It's still amazingly challenging. Even with my prior knowledge of it, obviously, because I played it when I was younger, but still, it's so challenging. Finding all the caves, all the secret walls, the quality of the game is just still through the roof. Like, it still matches up. Even the audio, the music, I had myself hung along to it. I loved it.
Do you think there's a... is the nostalgia the biggest value for you? I know that whenever I've tried to reintroduce games to people who never played it back in the day, they just can't get past it. My big example of this is playing the Final Fantasy games.
Oh, yeah.
And anyone looks at it and they just go, the graphics are just awful. But, yeah, I think all these things, it's great that something like that can actually hold up.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. I feel possibly I'm a little bit biased because I did play it so heavily and loved it so much as a youngster, but... I mean, like I said, the colours and the challenge of it and the music and everything, I feel like you can still sense the old Zelda and the new Zeldas, and of course, vice versa. I just think a game like this, there's a reason why it still exists, you know?
I have a couple of technical questions, actually. So how are you actually playing it? Because like you would obviously have to find like an old CRT TV.
Not right? at all. Okay. I've got it straight into my LCD.
Oh, okay. So does that look like a postage stamp on the screen?
Or no,
like,
has no it, I don't. I don't understand what everyone's problems they have with it. I've never had too much of a problem with my NES or even my Super NES.
Right.
Do you have to tune it in, or have you got a little adapter?
Yeah. Okay. So you've got to. You can't do it through the normal ways. You've got to go back to channel zero. You know, even off. Digital TV kind of thing, back to the old analog, and then you've got to tune it in.
Right.
But once you get there, it's fine. I mean...
Interesting.
I have the odd game freeze where the colours all go reverse and stuff, but I mean, it's a 25-year-old console, 30-year-old console, so this shit's going
to
happen.
It's interesting to note that only the Xbox One currently, well, if we're referring to consoles, actually supports the AV inputs now.
Oh, really?
That was something that actually didn't come up in the whole console wars earlier, I don't know, 2 years ago, I guess, when everybody was talking about everything... I guess the PS4 actually can't support AV or the old TVs.
I know some of the like the competitive Smash Bros and fighting game guys. Yeah. They actually prefer using the old CRT TVs than the LCDs because the refresh rates on them aren't great. And in a game like that where you've got to be so quick, if you don't support an old TV, then you can't play the game.
Right.
So.
In my experience with these things, with the NES anyway, I know I've got RCA... as well as the old, what's it, the RGB. Mm-hmm. So I can do either antenna plug-in or RCA. I'm actually still rocking RCA with my PS3 at the moment because my HDMI has gone a bit naff on my big 42-inch. And it's amazing the quality drop-down.
It becomes painful. Yeah. Like most of the text becomes illegible. Yeah.
It's such a big back step. HDMI does amazing things for us gamers.
It's one cable.
Yeah. Does it I know. All. And I love
don't
it.
Need to sit there tuning it in. That sounds good. All right. Who else has been playing some stuff this week?
Rabbi here. I would just like to say that I've been trying to download. I've bought the CDs for GTA 5.
Nice.
And been trying to download it for the past pretty much 3 months. Every time I go back again on the Rockstar Online, it keeps on updating. It's always that one more 100
mega. What system are you running it on?
As in like Windows or?
As in like what computer. Console?
A PC.
Oh, on a PC, okay.
A massive PC, pretty good PC. So.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
That's the thing with those games. There's so much in them. It's huge.
Yeah.
But if any point of the thing breaks, it's not like you can just go and put the disc back in and install it.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the disadvantages of having all these digital
the
online
PC stuff.
Yeah, if you have a problem where you've got bad internet or, you know, the servers are down because of some reason, then you're locked out of your games now and things like that. So good luck on that. I know GTA's got a lot of life in it. They've got those like photorealistic mods that they bring in now and stuff like that.
I reckon I'll just return it to EB Games and EB World.
Hold out for GTA 6.
Oh, is it coming out?
I don't think that's coming out anytime soon.
It's taking you that long to get around to 5.
Man. Yeah. And on another game, if anyone remembers the Commandos 1998 when it first came out, I've been trying to think about going back to that stealth game. This only occurred about 2 days ago because I like those challenging games where really you'd spend a whole night trying to figure out how to finish the game, and I like my strategy games.
Have you had a go at the new Metal Gear Solid that's just come out?
I was just going to say he might like that
because
I've heard great things.
It's open world, it's stealth. Like the way that you play the mission depends on your score, and there's like perfect ways to do it. There's heaps of strategy and things like that. Yeah. So it might be good to get all the old. On the new console or get it on computer if you've got it and try that out, because some of the stuff that I've seen that people have been playing, that it looks insanely fun. You can do whatever you want, and you can have like, you know, there can be a mission where you have to go and save a bunch of hostages, and you'd be like, oh whatever, I'm just going to call an airstrike in on his base or whatever, or and you can play with heaps of different characters as well, and you don't have to play a Snake. It's pretty good.
Seems pretty good. Yeah, we'll check it out then, definitely.
Yeah.
Possibly after the semester, but we'll definitely check it
out.
It's the
old student dilemma.
Yeah.
Always.
I'm in a bunch of that at the moment. I've got all these games lined up that I just want to prioritize, and I just can't.
Assignments have to be pushed off.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, a bit of procrastination gets you a new high score theme tune, doesn't it?
It does, it's always good.
And Mitch, what have you been playing?
Pretty much just got my head stuck in a Destiny at this point. Yeah, Taken King Year 2 came out.
Playing it before?
Absolutely. I've been a Guardian since beta.
Yep.
Yeah. So
and how do you find the changes now that they've gone and revamped everything?
Pretty awesome. It's like all of the concerns that everyone had with Destiny seem to have been addressed. So there's a lot more story now. A lot of work's been put into the cutscenes. So they fixed the couple of the technical things as well with Destiny. Like the leveling system actually makes a little bit more sense. I guess for people in the know, your light level now determines how powerful your character is, instead of just being this arbitrary number that we weren't really sure what exactly it meant that affected your overall level.
Because that can be the problem with all these games, especially, well, Destiny is basically like one of those massively multiplayer online RPG sort of games, where if you come into it late and there's all these like arcane stats and everything that you're going to be like, I've got to have like, you know, I have 30 light or whatever. And what does that mean? If you start late and it takes you 400 years to get to the same point, then you get burnt out. And I think they've a revamp of the whole surge. There is a complaint.
They made everybody a new player again.
Yeah.
I think that's what the new update really reminded me of, is like the days of not knowing exactly what things did yet.
Evening that playing field, I think.
Evening the playing field. And the barrier of entry is now a lot easier.
Yeah.
I think. And then there are more incentives for people to play now, because the Destiny never really had an end game as such. So that was many people's problem with it. But I'd like to compare it to World of Warcraft in many aspects, because that system really doesn't have an end game as far as I know, actually. But people still continue to play it, but for what reason? So I think
there's lots of little bits and pieces you can do, and you can get enjoyment out of doing lots of little subtasks. And I think the problem with Destiny was that the main thing was just go run the raid and then try to get gear and then didn't get it and then do it again, rinse and repeat.
There are now specific ways to get certain pieces of gear now. And then something that they've released only recently as recently as maybe 48 hours ago, people have discovered that in certain missions, you can run them a specific way that's a lot more challenging than the standard way of doing things, and you can get a special piece of gear from doing it that specific way. So they're kind of like creating these mini legends and like fairy tales inside of Destiny, which like if you're up to the challenge, you can find it. And that you'll like the developers have said nothing about these things. It's up to the community
to try and
like,
work it out.
To work it out. Yeah,
that's so, really clever. That reminds me a lot of back in primary school when people would be like, "Oh, if you do this particular thing in a particular way, if you hold down B when you throw your Pokeball, guaranteed catch."
For example, the recent one required you to do a mission as quick as possible up to a certain point. Then it would activate. You would need to deviate from the mission's story and like objective and go up a different pathway, literally a different hallway, and then you would activate a special event which you then had to do within a certain time period, and then you would get a special piece of armor. Oh, it's actually a weapon. Yeah,
that's
a sniper
really
rifle.
Good. Yeah, well, the thing that's been consuming a lot of my time recently, and I find that especially with things like Destiny, I find there's a big barrier because it's a time investment involved, and then
there is,
I don't really have the time to do that. But I've been playing a lot of, I guess you would probably, they're sort of like a casual game, I guess, but they're more of a jump in, quick, short sort of thing. So the main game that I've been playing is a game called Heroes of the Storm.
Hello.
And it's a Defense of the Ancients style Dota. It's sort of like a real-time strategy game, except you play with one character. It's a multiplayer game, so you play in teams.
I think the term is MOBA.
MOBA is the term. Yeah, multiplayer online battle arena or something. I don't know exactly.
So you get to start a base, build
Well, you
your
have
base,
a base.
But, okay.
You have a base, and you've got to defend that base while simultaneously attacking the other person's base.
Okay.
So there's like waves of enemies that are computer controlled, and you've got
the difference between that and Dota.
It seems to be a bit more of a simplified version of it.
Okay.
There's not a lot of in Dota. There is a sort of items system where you've got to maintain a different lot of gear and having the right item.
I think we need to distinguish between also Dota.
And that's Dota 2.
Dota 2 and the original mod for
Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things. Like it originally spawned off this Warcraft 3 map that somebody made. I remember playing
that
in computer cafes and things like that, playing it there. And now it's become this huge, big genre, and there's lots of different things. And there's a lot of money in it too as well. I was having a look this week, and they've got the championship that's happening at the moment for Heroes of the Storm. And they're giving out $1.2 million US in prizes. So, but as we were saying about Dota before, Dota 2, they have a international, which happened in August this year, and the prize money for that was $18,429,613. So that's split between all the winners.
That's split between the winning team.
Yeah,
which
so
is
they have
people.
Different. They have different tiers of the people in the games, and then they have like runner-up prizes and things like that. But it's $18 million.
To note, where did that money come from?
So that's a good point, actually. Yeah. So what they have, as I was saying with Dota 2, they've got items in the game, and they have an in-game store where people buy things. So they have a specific pack that they have to support the international, and that has items for people who play at home, and it gives them access to watch the tournament and things like that.
Okay,
and
so
people who buy that pack, the money then goes to contribute to the prize money for the game.
Like a tournament-friendly pack.
Yeah. It's kind of like you buy yourself a ticket, you get a bonus little thing when you do it, and you also get the money goes towards the prizes.
What's interesting about this whole idea is that the community funds the prize.
Yeah.
So it's not up to like the developer or things like that.
Does anyone know the term, the whole theory that Henry Jenkins came out? So the co-user, the consumer is now a producer pretty much. There's no more heading up from top to bottom where you would wait for the, let's just not go for the game, but you would, the updates for the game, you make your own character, you have a virtual character in this world, and you're able to produce, and then these
it's
bugs
are generated.
Yeah, pretty much by consumers. And it's like crowdfunding, you know, like let's say you want to throw a concert here at Murdoch University. Shout out to Murdoch University.
Murdoch Radio, represent.
Yeah, 40 student years wave. Old now, the student wave with Radio Murdoch. If you want to crowdfund something around here, it's very easy. And even on the world, they're coming up and be like, okay, if you buy this, we're going to put all that money towards that because we've already paid every single staff member here with their Christmas bonuses and bonuses for in this company. So I reckon is.
Valve does this really well. They do this with Dota. People can actually create items for the game, and then they do get approved and sold in the game.
Yep.
And the people who create the game actually get a kickback for creating that particular thing. So if you do really good stuff, if you're a good visual artist, if you do 3D art, you know how to do these sort of things, you can create items for the game.
Yep.
They'll be resold. You can make a living out of it. And then you have a sort of a group of people who are super passionate about the game, who are contributing to the game itself,
yep.
and they're getting rewarded for doing so. And
so it's such an amazing community feel that they've like really kind of nurtured there over that game. Yep. And just kind of coming, for, I guess, from that World of Warcraft-based type thing and really, I guess, going from something that is supposed to be an online community and isn't really, and then creating it to a point where it's, you know, a self-supporting tournament and game, and like, I just think that's amazing.
I think it gives a lot more longevity to these games as well, because if you have a passionate community around it, I remember when...
And keep giving it life.
Exactly right, yeah. You know, it's this is going to be something that's going to become... it is big business, but, you know, as we were talking about before... people put into it where they get out of it. Destiny people now have got a lot more to get into it. They encourage their friends to join in because the barrier is not as high. And it's something that is going to become a job. And for these people mm-hmm. who are playing the games like the International, this is their job. They get paid a lot of money.
And they are now professional people that play games.
And they're treated a lot in the same way if you watch the tournaments online. Yep. It's treated in a very similar way to how sports are actually cast.
Absolutely.
They have casters. They're called just like sports casters.
Yeah, sports casters.
And they have people who are commenting on the games and strategy, exactly like, you know, if you watch the AFL and you watch someone kicking a thing, they go, you know, Nat Fife, he's done some great kickball thing.
yeah, showing so you just sounded like the biggest nerd on the planet.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
these
yeah.
commentators, you know, they're involved in the scene. They know the players. They know the game. They know everything. They're not just, you know, general punters. They're really educated people.
Absolutely.
As far as the community goes.
They have all the aesthetics, and they belong to this culture, the gaming culture, whereas someone who, let's say, a footy player, which is the best pretty much example that we can give for now, doesn't know about that culture, doesn't know the aesthetics, like doesn't know what the actual, the meaning of the actions that they are doing. So let's say, just for example, here in Perth at the casino, when they had
An esports tournament at the casino.
Yeah, esports.
Was it at the
there,
casino?
Or? Not there. They just had a giant screen, and great idea, because they just had an influx of people as if it was like the finals of, let's say, a footy's final. Yeah.
Yep.
And they were just watching it there, drinks or people coming around, food is good.
It's
business
exactly
business.
As we were saying, you get in a different crowd of people. And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because there's a university in America. Mm-hmm. They're called, it's called Robert, I'm going to click over across the name, Robert Morris University, Hello. Illinois. There we go. Robert Morris University in Illinois. And they've just announced that they're going to have, they've got one, they're running it at the moment. They have a League of Legends, which is another MOBA, esports team. So the people who play the game get a scholarship, just like the football players or the basketball players. Mm-hmm. They get a scholarship towards their university funding, and they still have the same requirements. So they need to participate in a certain number of matches. They have to represent their team. There's a structure. They have to do training and things like that. And that just opens up another way for people who probably would not be sports stars, now get them an opportunity to go to university and learn about all these sort of things.
See, I think that's fantastic. There's so much space for what is essentially just another game for these people who, generally wouldn't be considered for these kinds of scholarships and stuff. What a fantastic idea.
You know what I've learned from that? Murdoch needs to get in on that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That would be a good idea. We could have maybe we'd be the best team, university team in Australia by default.
Yeah.
That sounds great. All right, let's go to a bit of a promo, guys, and let's come back and we'll have a little bit of a chat about something else.
Spot on.
Nice.
You can check out High Score and all the other great Radio Murdoch shows on www.radiomurdoch.com. Read blogs, check out the upcoming schedule, and listen back to previous shows. Radio Murdoch, the student wave. And we're back. So, Mitch, you've been trawling the internet and you found something cool online, just breaking news right now,
the studio. I'm just actually double-checking to see whether it is breaking news.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So, basically, video game movies are starting to pop up, and I have found out that the Angry Birds movie is coming out.
So, Angry Birds.
Yes.
It's pretty thin on plot.
Yes, very thin. Actually not sure what exactly is going on. If you could... Can we put links in the
we definitely
description
can.
Of this?
Yeah.
Put a link in the description. Maybe you can pause it at this point and watch the trailer. I'm the only one that's watched it. So, basically, I think... I've seen no conflict in the actual trailer itself, but it seems like the Red Bird is managing his anger.
That seems to be there.
That seems
it's like
to be
anger management with Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
And
Interestingly enough, it's by Sony Pictures, yep. So you know,
but Sony's a big company.
They're very well funded. Very well funded.
They don't make you know, risky bets. Those big movie companies. They take something that's going to be
like safe ones.
Yeah. Exactly. So this must be an interesting trend. I think video game movies have always been a bit.
They've been a bit of a stigma because they are rejected wholly, pretty much by the gamers themselves and everyone else.
But do you think someone is going to be passionate enough about Angry Birds to go, nah, they've changed it. This used to be about throwing the birds
they
at
sold
the pigs.
Out, man.
That's an excellent question. However, I think the ship has sailed when that Angry Birds cartoon came out, which is apparently pretty good.
An Angry Birds cartoon.
There's an Angry Birds cartoon.
Well, just goes to show you, this is big business.
Yeah, this
There's
is a
lot
business.
Of money behind these
Media
things.
Media convergence, everybody. So use those hot words.
That's the word that I was trying to find.
Convergence.
Yeah, man. Convergence of cultures, where video games has opened up the world. Has opened up a pathway for different text. When I say text, it means the difference between video games, movies, sound, theater. So all those, it's opened up many. A path for different texts to kind of be read through each other. So this is one of these.
Interestingly enough, the studio is also responsible for the Ratchet and Clank movie coming out in April.
Ah, see, Ratchet and Clank is a pretty big franchise.
So the
game.
Ratchet and Clank movie, if you look at that trailer, which we'll also link, that looks far better than the Angry Birds trailer.
Now,
and that's been around for about a year.
Ratchet and Clank, for people who don't who haven't heard of that one before, it's an older game. What's it about, Mitch?
All right, it's about. I guess you have this little like creature. He's like, I believe he's called a Lumbrax, and he finds this robot, and he befriends him. And this robot is one of the ultimate weapons in the galaxy, and uses that to fight. I guess he doesn't really fight evil. He just fights a lot of interesting enemies that are against him.
So
I haven't actually played the game in a while.
What type of game is it?
Third person shooter.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very cartoony.
Yep.
The humor is very crude. If you look for it, I think it's like it was kind of like almost one of those pseudo adult things before they became cool.
Oh, like
and everybody was making
Adventure Time style.
I guess so. Yeah, if you want to, make that comparison, I was.
It has a broad base, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it was very clever in the way it was written, so a lot of people liked it.
Mm.
So now they're bringing it back, and I guess the whole it was always very self-aware. The game was about itself and the issues that it had addressed. So now it is making fun of itself. That now it's a movie. Based on a game, and then the game is going to come out in conjunction with the movie that is based on the game. I mean, on the movie, sorry.
So we've come full circle.
It literally has come full circle, and they are not afraid to address that fact.
Okay.
So I think that's quite exciting.
Well, there is a big trend of redoing things from previous generations.
I think 21 Jump Street by, I think it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller, I think, those guys.
The guys who did the Lego movie?
Yeah, the guys who did the Lego movie. If they've shown us anything, it's that people are now looking for self-aware media.
That's what they
want. And I know I am. Yeah, I do like self-aware media a lot.
You'd be very excited about that.
Yep.
There's a
it's
great
the next step.
Yeah. I think you just know where you came from and know where you're going, I think.
Cool. Just going back to the Angry Birds thing, just for 2 seconds.
Yep. Sorry.
Looks like it's going to be awful. The headline I saw for it was the Angry Birds movie trailer is out and it stinks like a pig.
Oh, hello.
It's due, we'll see it mid next year.
Yep.
And it's going to have a cast that include Jason Sudeikis and Bill Hader.
Wow.
So I know. Really? So it's like this. I really like that they're trying to make an effort, but also, you know, the whole Angry Birds.
It's been thoroughly milked.
It's about to crash.
Yeah.
Apparently, they announced last year that they lost like 73% of their profits, and they've laid off hundreds of people. Like
the Angry Birds team.
Yeah, this is their last.
How many people work on Angry Birds?
Well, no, this is the company behind them. Rovio.
Yeah.
Because this is basically all that they've got going for them at the moment. So basically, if this tanks. We've probably seen the last of Angry Birds forever.
Well, they are still making money off all those stuffed animals.
Have we hit peak Angry Birds? Have we passed the peak?
I thought that happened a long time ago. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited for the Candy Crush movie that's going to be coming out.
No. I was just going to say, so King...
Candy Crush Saga.
Candy Crush Saga,
part
one.
How do you make a movie out of that?
What
do you do? Just like watch a movie of blocks being... or the blocks come alive and... Yeah. Everyone has their own part.
It's a
of
metaphor,
life.
And the blocks are, you know, societal groups.
Yeah, man.
And the clashing and combining. I don't think so.
It's all very political.
You can sell that script to King. We'll be selling that for about $1 million.
Yeah, I think a million is fair. That's pretty fair. Yeah. You know, we can go from there. Yeah. Let's have another listen. High Score, all things video games, Radio Murdoch. High Score, Radio Murdoch. We're still here in the studio. We've got a few minutes left to go. Let's have a bit of a wrap up about what we've been checking out this week, or any final comments. Robbie, you're going to tell us a little bit about some of the things you've seen for games. We've got only a very short amount of time, about 5 minutes left now.
Cool. Yep. Do you want me to start?
Go for it. Okay. Quick summary.
In a summary, okay, so sound plays a big role, a massive role in video games, but everyone just knows that sound is just there. They don't realize how hard it is to put actually implement it into a game. So at the moment, I'm working with a group of students here at Murdoch University. They're working on a video game as their final project, and it's called One Hint Hitman. And my job is to pretty much do the sound for it. So I've been going through these stages of, like, how do I start? Do I start with environment? Do I start with character? Do I start with making the music actually? All these angles that I'm trying to search for. Usually in a team of, let's say, a major game, there'll be 2 to 3 people, at least one's managing, one with experience of video games that knows how things are implemented. But yeah, I just wanted to bring this to the table and to discuss it with you.
Sounds good. I think the best thing about sound is that it can really make or break a game.
Yeah.
In a way, it can be hilarious if it's terrible, but if you have just lackluster sound, then you know, you miss out on a lot of things. And there are a lot of games, for example, these are high budget ones, but, you know, things like Mass Effect or things that have this real cinematic feel to them. Or you have things like nostalgic feel, like have a listen to half of our promos. They all sound very nostalgic.
But it's very much the same as sound in film. You know, if you're going for your big cinematic kind of action trailers, then you want big Mass Effect sound. You don't need that kind of thing for the sound to be really well done for a game. It can be a little bit behind and a little bit more sinister, or it can be a little bit happy. It can even be slapstick and cheesy if that's what you're going for.
Think about something like, there's a game that came out quite a few years ago now, but a game called Braid. And it's a gameplay very similar to, like, Mario Brothers, sort of Super Mario sort of style game, but it has a really sort of sweeping, sound effecty sort of thing, and it has really quite deep themes. So the gameplay itself, when you play it, is pretty Mario-esque, but then all the way that the world is built and the sound is built and the whole thing kind of comes together in the visuals, it all builds to something bigger than just a game where you're jumping on little enemies and things like that, and jumping on platforms.
You've got games that have taken sound and really made it a prominent part of that game. I mean, look at games like Rez, and there was a sequel to that I can't quite remember what it was off the top of my head right now. And the game
was Lumines?
No.
That's by the same guy, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's another sound-based game. Or things like Journey, for example, PS3.
So essentially, all you're doing, every action you're doing that in the game is creating a new sound scape, and it's affecting everything you listen to. And it's entertaining and fantastic, and I loved it. It was groundbreaking for me a little bit, especially with the whole touch.
So how are you going to approach the sound creation of this particular game?
I already started on, just because I needed to kind of head into the music first, just because for time restrictions. So I started off with the music, and they loved it. And then I had a test play of the game last Tuesday. The mechanics are working fine. They just need to a few things, like how fast is the character running and how slow is the character walking. What are the other sounds that are the images? Like, I can't pretty put a sound of, let's say...
What does the game look like? What kind of style is it?
A 2.5D...
Think Hotline Miami.
2.5... Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, okay.
Hotline Miami style. Yeah. Got it. Cool, top down.
Kind of like
a little bit Super NES-y, but...
Drop down to more in a... You get this one hint at the start of the game, which is a text message... And then you go and try to find your target, and you need to assassinate them. And you can assassinate them either by killing them, pretty much shooting them in the open. But then you have levels of suspicion. SWAT come in, four star level of suspicion, and then also you get like these triggers. Your character might have a trigger. They might be OCD, so you can trick them into having, let's say you spill a bucket of water, and then because they're OCD or whatever, they come and clean it up, and they're like, oh, so that way you can isolate them from the guards, and you can kind of go in for the sweeping kill, and then you need to clear out the mission.
It's amazing when all these things get created, there's a collaborative nature of how it comes together, and you've got a discipline of sound, and then there's people who are making games, and they all come together. And, you know, I think when you think about it, these games, how they're made, they are just as complex as films or any other
form
of
media,
if not more, because you've got to think about all the different aspects of that and things like that. So all good things are collaborations in this world of ours. Yep. And there's lots of great stuff where people can be part of it, as we were talking earlier with the Dota stuff and how people can contribute to the game by being esports stars, and they add value to the game because they make it more intriguing. Talk about having Destiny, how people bring it together as a community and things like that. All of that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Now we've come to the end of our show. We've had a pretty good first show. We didn't get a chance to talk about Scott's favorite topic, the simulator genre.
That's so, okay. I also really wanted to talk about Battlefront, but I think we can do that next time. It's due.
There'll be Battlefront news.
Yeah, I mean it's two months away. So yeah, next time. Hold on for that one.
You've been listening to High Score on Radio Murdoch. Thanks for listening to our first show.
Cheers.
You can check out www.radiomurdoch.com for some great radio stuff. That's all we have time for. My name is Gianni. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.